My dear friends, it is wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house once again today. And as we gather here on this beautiful morning, let us begin our worship service. And we begin every worship service this very same way, and it's not by accident. We remember the day that we were brought into the family of God, the day that we were made His children, the day that we were justified and made holy in God's sight so that we can spend time in His presence this morning. We remember the day of our baptism in the name of God that was spoken over us, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray, my dear friends. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this beautiful day that You have given us, Lord, to gather in Your name, to hear Your word, to respond in praise, songs of praise. Lord, I pray that You would send Your Spirit among us today, open our hearts and our minds, that we may receive Your word, that You may bury it in our memories, Lord, so that at the right time it can be brought up, Lord, so that Your Spirit can guide us and give us words to speak when we are at the right times, Lord. Lord, we thank You for this morning, and we ask You to be here. In Your name we pray. Amen. My friends, as we come into our Father's presence, it is only right that we would lay the sins that we have that are standing currently between us and God, these things that are weighing on our hearts and our conscience, and lay them at God's feet and receive absolution for those sins. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Please stand as we confess. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before You of all the sins. I have lived as if You did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let Your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated as we return praise to our God.
Blessed be your name. Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. My name is Mike Kennedy. I'm your elder this morning, and my privilege to read first reading from 1 John. It's on page 1740 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the word of God.
All right, it is now time for the children's message. So Linda Dane is going to come forward and give us that message today.
Well, good morning, everyone. How are you this morning? Good. Good morning out there in TV land and out in the cars. So I was thinking about holidays. Did you know yesterday was a holiday? It was May 1st. I was actually out at St. Charles with my husband, and there was this big pole out there, and it was May Day. And so they have this May pole, and they do these May pole things. I don't really know how that all goes. But anyway, it was a holiday. So I thought we would talk about some holidays. I am going to give you a clue about some things that people use to celebrate, and I want you to talk amongst yourselves if you're in your car or on your couch or if you're here, and I want you to think if you can think about what holiday it is. So, first one is, there's a tree in a house, some ornaments, and people kind of sit around and listen to some fun music. What holiday? Shout it out. Christmas. Very, very good. Okay. There is pumpkins, and sometimes people, Halloween, very good. And how about this one? Usually people wearing red, white, and blue, fireworks sometimes. Independence Day, 4th of July, nice. Okay, this one's a little bit tougher, okay? You see red, you see pink, you see hearts. Valentine's Day. That is a very good guess, but I am going to say Easter. Yeah, what? Mrs. Dane, that's kind of crazy. But if we actually listen to what the reading said today, it talked a lot about love, all right? I'm going to have you guys read it with me. Every time I pause, I want you guys to say love. Okay, are you ready? So, you ready? Dear friends, let us
love
one another, for
love
comes from God. Everyone who
love
have been born of God and knows God, whoever, wait a minute, now you have to cross your arms because that means does not. Whoever does not
love
does not know God, because God is
love.
This is how he showed his
love
among us. This is the important part. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is
love.
Not that we
love
God, but that he
love
us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's Easter, guys. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So see, Easter all along is really all about
love.
That's right. He loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross and rise again because he
loved
us. Absolutely. And he tells us that we should
love
one another. Well, what are some ways that we can
love
one another? You guys are good. So let's think about it. Okay, an example. Your mom is not feeling very well at all. She's been on the couch going, I really don't feel very well. So what are some ways that we can show
love
to our moms? Think about it. Bet you guys can come up with some examples. Maybe we could give her a hug. That would also be an awesome thing. Maybe you could say, I love you. Or maybe you could actually do some things. Maybe set the table. Maybe go out and get the mail for her. Maybe make her a card. Those all things show. Yes. All right, what about if we have a neighbor? Maybe we have a neighbor who is older and she hasn't been able to go out very much, and so she's kind of lonely. How can we show our neighbor some? Maybe we could make her a card. Maybe we could just go out and talk to her and say hi, because sometimes having a nice, smiling, happy face would be a great way to show some. Good. And now let's think about maybe some friends at school. Maybe we see somebody, a friend of ours, maybe Joey, who's sitting on a swing and he's by himself and he looks kind of sad. And maybe we could go over and show him some. Maybe we could say, Joey, why are you so sad? And we could talk to him. Maybe we could ask him if he wants to play with us. And that would really show some. God really wants us to show love to everyone, because he showed us his love first. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, thank you so much for loving us so much that you loved us even when we didn't deserve it. Please help us to love each other, and thank you for dying on the cross for us, our sins, sending Jesus to do that. In your son's name we pray, amen. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Linda. And now it is time for a little worship. So if all the kids, 4-year-old through fourth grade, want to meet at the cross in the center aisle, looks like Miss Lauren is going to take you away for a lesson. And the rest of us are going to turn to God's word with Pastor Bill.
Okay, the text for today is from John chapter 15. What is another one of my favorites? This is such a beautiful picture of our relationship with God. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean, that is, pruned, because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So far the text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On September 4th, 1847, Henry Francis Leite, whose health had been undermined, preached a farewell sermon in his congregation at Brixham, South Devonshire, England. After holding other pastorates, this man had devoted himself for a quarter century to the pastoral care of uncultured but warm-hearted seamen. He had gained their love and their confidence in high degree. He visited the fishermen and the sailors, both on the ships and in their huts. He provided every outgoing ship with a Bible. Toward evening of the day when he preached his farewell sermon, he went down to the garden path to view the setting sun over Brixham Harbor. While this lovely scene of nature was before his eyes, the pastor, in a long, fervent prayer, as he later told his family, asked his God for the ability to write a hymn that might comfort his survivors. No sooner had the sun gone down than he returned to his study, as his children thought, to rest. But an hour later, the door opened and the pastor came forth with a manuscript of the immortal hymn he had just written, the hymn that we love so much. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fall and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Then the final stanza, hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. When Jesus abides in us and we abide in Jesus, we receive life, the life that he gives. There is only one source of life, and that is Jesus. He is the creator of all life. As we read in John chapter 1, everything that was made by him. There was nothing made, that wasn't made by him. He is the creator of all things. We read in the first chapter of the Bible that God created everything. And how did he do it? He spoke. And what did he speak? He spoke words. He spoke words, and that word was Jesus Christ. For Jesus is also the creator, isn't he? He and God are one. Jesus says over and over again in the scriptures, I and my Father are one. And so Jesus is the beginner of life. He's the giver of life. He is the redeemer of life. When mankind destroyed life through sin, Jesus came into the world to undo the damage that had been done. He came into the world to tear down the wall that sin had built. Sin built a wall so profound that it separates us from God. It takes away that relationship that we have with God, that salvation, that life everlasting that God has given to us. We destroyed it, but Jesus fixed it. He made it so that we can live with God and God lives with us. And thereby we receive that life. The life that we live is a life of love. It's not the kind of love that we think of on Valentine's Day. It's not that kind of warm, mushy feeling that I have for my wife. It's an agape love. It's a self-sacrificing love, which I also have for my wife. But that love that God wants us to have for one another is a love that says we will willing to sacrifice for the other people, whether they're our friends or our enemies. It doesn't make any difference. God wants us to love. And the only way we can do that is to use the gifts that God gives us. This last week, I was given the privilege of addressing the children in the school, and I used this same text. And I didn't talk too much about a vine because I don't think the kids really kind of grasp that. We talk about an apple tree that has a trunk and how the branch has to stay in the trunk of the tree in order to receive the sustenance that it needs to produce fruit. And that's what you and I have. This relationship with God is a living relationship whereby we receive from him the gift that we need to be able to produce fruit. And that fruit is what benefits his kingdom. How can we benefit his kingdom? Number one, by loving. By loving people so much that we're not afraid to get involved with their need, that we're able to try to help them get through their needs, their sufferings, their low times, to be able to lift them up with the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. When you arrive on heaven's shores, can you think of a more blessed experience than to see someone there who is there because you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, and God's Holy Spirit worked through that to create in them saving faith so that you were a part of them being able to be in heaven too? What a wonderful, wonderful gift you and I have from the living Christ who lives in us to be able to serve him. You know, there are a lot of different religions in the world, and the false teachers would like us to believe that they're all the same. Doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you believe. My friends, that can't be anything further from the truth. Someone wrote a brief description of the main religions of the world, and I'd like to share those with you. The Greek says, "Man, know thyself." The Roman says, "Man, control thyself." The Confucian says, "Man, improve thyself." The Buddhist says, "Man, destroy thyself." The Brahmin says, "Man, absorb thyself." The Muslim says, "Man, submit thyself." But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "You can't do anything without me. You can't do anything unless you are one with me." And this is the gift that we have through God. As the word and sacraments are received by you and me, we are able, by the power of God, to believe, to get involved with his work, to get involved with our neighbors so that they can too know that wonderful good news of our salvation, so that they can enjoy our life. Do you know how many people are afraid to die? This is a real fear for a large part of our society. I had a member in a congregation who really was afraid to die. So afraid to die that when the doctors told him if he had chemo and radiation, he would have a 5% chance of living. 95% chance he's going to die anyway. Well, he spent a large sum of money for the chemo and the radiation and the whole ball of wax, which destroyed his life, really, as he suffered with that stuff. For what? For 5% chance of living? We don't have to be afraid of death, do we? No, we can face it head on because we know we're not going to die. We're going to live forever with Jesus because he lives in us. We have that life-giving juice from the trunk of the tree that flows into the branch. That's us. That branch is alive. The branch that doesn't believe is cut off. The branch that doesn't produce fruit of faith is cut off. It withers. It is dried and thrown into the fire. You go by Pastor Bob's house, you see a whole lot of branches being split, being cut up into firewood. But it's got to dry for a season, doesn't it? That wood that dries is destroyed eternally. We don't have to be afraid of that, because we have Christ living in us. He abides in us. So that with him living in us, we know we will not die. We will live forever with him in heaven. But he says, we will be pruned. Now, what's the difference between being pruned and being cut off? You get cut either way, right? Of course, being cut off is death, eternal death. Being pruned means that God is giving us some difficulties to overcome. And how do we overcome them? We overcome them by remaining in him and he in us. By going to him in prayer and receiving from Him the wonderful gift of God's Holy Spirit, keeping that faith alive, keeping us always focused and trusting in Him. Lord, Your will be done, not my will. Because my will would say, no, Lord, I don't want to be pruned. I don't want any of that suffering in this world. And yet, He lets us experience these sufferings because it's for our good. It's to help us to develop, to be able to bear more fruit, to be more fruitful for the Lord. My wife has a beautiful gift working with flowers. And she buys these flowers from the florist or from the nursery. She plants them. The first thing she does is cut off the blossoms. Well, what are you doing that for? You're cutting off the pretty part. Well, that, she informs me, is what gives the plant the ability to have more blossoms, better blossoms. And that's the way it is with the Lord on us. As He prunes us, as He gives us these difficulties, we are then able to do more in His kingdom. It strengthens us. It empowers us. Because with God living in us, we are able to accomplish so much more. It isn't us, is it? It's not us that accomplishes all this wonderful stuff. It's God in us. As He abides in us, as He lives in us, we are able to receive those empowering juices from the trunk of the tree so that we can bear fruit. This wasn't always the case. You see, when God first created us, the world was without sin. The world was perfect. Adam and Eve had a wonderful, wonderful experience of living in a sin-free world. You and I, we can't even hardly imagine such a thing. But that's what it was for them. Until Satan planted that seed in their mind. My will, God, not Your will. My will, God, that forbidden fruit looks so good. I want that fruit. And so they disobeyed God. And sin entered into the world. And you and I have inherited that same propensity for sin. The same thing that says, I want that sin. I want that thing, or I want that activity. And that's us, desiring to sin. And this is a terrible separation from God. That we rebel against Him, our Creator. But His love is so great. His love is so profound. As the epistle lesson this morning said, God is love. And therefore, because He is love, He does not hate us. Out of that love, He sends Jesus into the world to give us that life, to redeem us that life, to buy it back so that you and I can live forever with Him in heaven. That gives us a peace, doesn't it? A peace that passes all understanding in knowing that we are forgiven. He lives in us again. We are reestablished in Christ. He is with us. He is in us, and we in Him, because He first loved us and gave Himself for us. Is there any blessing greater than this? You and I are blessed in our baptism as we receive the blessed gift in the water and the word, as God strengthens that faith, makes that faith official. As we are blessed in the body and the blood of Christ, as we receive it, in the body and blood of Christ to live in us in a very real way. It's not a dead body or blood, is it? He lives, and He lives in us. Empowering us, strengthening us. And then as we receive the word, that very powerful word, that creative word, the word that created us in the first place, that word of God. And those words are profound. Those words are strength in and of themselves to create a faith in us, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, we read in the book of Romans. This is our gift. A gift of faith, a gift of trust. Trust in something that is trustworthy. There's so much out there that isn't trustworthy, but people still put their faith in that rather than in God. You and I have been blessed because God sent His Holy Spirit through the Word and sacraments to create that faith and to maintain that faith, to keep that faith always alive, always with us. There's a bush in Palestine which is a counterfeit tree, a counterfeit olive tree. It's called a wild olive or oleander. In all points, it is like the olive tree, except that it yields no fruit. As God has planted you and me where we are able to bear fruit in His kingdom, so too does the olive grower plant olive trees to bear a crop of olives every year. But when he finds an oleander in his orchard, what will he do? Will he leave it there to take up space and nutrients that his olive trees need? No. He'll cut it down and burn it. So too, God promises that those without faith in Jesus as their Savior will also be cut down and burned forever in hell. You will know them by their fruits, Jesus says. Let us look at ourselves and see if we are alive with Christ, alive with Jesus living in us, and us in Him by the fruit we bear in His name. If we find none, it's not too late to be grafted into Jesus, to seek that faith, the faith that we can't even choose, the faith that we receive as a gift through God's Holy Spirit, through the Word and sacraments, the means of grace. The invitation is to all, because God loves all, everyone, especially you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
We continue our worship service by singing praise to our God, God of wonders.
Oh,
As we've heard God's word read and taught, let us now confess the faith that we believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please stand as we confess using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, it's now time to head into our prayer, this time that we get to speak to God, just to share with him what's going on in our lives and also pray for our brothers and sisters. And there's one brother and sister right now that is in particular need of our intercession, of our prayers, and that is Wayne and Carol Young. Friday, I got a phone call that Carol was reaching the end of her life, and she's currently in a coma and not expected to live much longer. And this is one of those times that understanding how important it is to have a strong faith in God and to know without question your salvation. Wayne is able to sit at the bedside of his wife and pray that God would take her quickly because he knows where she's going. He has absolute confidence in what Jesus has done for her. And it's just an amazing reminder of the amazing blessing that we have in the peace of God. And so let's hold them in our prayers, we do. And also, the other thing I would like to pray for today is my dad, Pastor Bill. He preached for us today. He's been preaching for us lately. The deal is I'm redoing their kitchen. And that was the deal, is that he's helping me make time for the working on the kitchen by preaching for me. So if you're wondering why he's preaching so much lately, it's because Mom's getting a new kitchen. That's kind of how that works. And families, we work it out. You know, it's kind of that. Anyway. But the thing is this. This is the last Sunday he's going to be with us for a while because he's going to be taking a vacancy congregation at St. John Buford. Their pastor retired recently, and so he's going to go out and fill in until they're able to call a new pastor. And so we want to pray for him and his future ministry as well. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, that you have made us your children and bring us into your house every week, Lord, to speak to us through your word and to to heal us, Lord, and to fill us, Lord, with your will and your desires, and Lord, more than anything, your gracious forgiveness and your love. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as your church, that we would be able to be your hands and feet in this world, that we would be able to respond to that unbelievable gift of life and forgiveness that you have given us, this eternal life that we look forward to, that we would be able to share that message, Lord, with so many other people. Lord, I pray that you would be especially today, Lord, please be with Wayne. Lord, I pray that you'd be with him and that you would give him strength as he cares for his wife. I pray that you would just comfort him. Lord, let him have peace in the faith, Lord, in you that he holds so dear, the confidence in your promise of the eternal life. Lord, I pray you'd be with Carol as well, that she would be able to pass gently without pain, and that that you would just receive her, Lord, into heaven as you have promised to do. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with my father, Lord, as he heads into his next phase of ministry, Lord, in Beaufort. I pray that you would bless him. Put your word in his mouth. Bless him, Lord, as he speaks it to your children, that they may learn, that they may grow, that they may be assured of your promises, of your salvation that is earned by Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would bless that church through his ministry, and especially, Lord, through your word and promise. Lord, I pray for the families of our congregation, that they would continue to grow in you, that the children would grow and learn, Lord, of the incredible promises that you have for your people, that as their minds are able to grasp, that the parents and that the people of your church would be able to teach, so that they would be ever growing, Lord, in their faith. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would have that curious, that ever hungry, Lord, faith in you as we learn your word and know of your promise. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. And we come before you this day and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Oh, Now, having received this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the strength and the forgiveness he gives us in this gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's sing the final song together.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord.
Yeah.
right, my dear friends, it has been wonderful worshiping with each and every one of you this morning. I do encourage you to please stay after the service and attend Bible study. It is such an important thing. If you're not attending Bible study here, I pray you're attending Bible study someplace. It is utterly important, very, very important to stay rooted to God's word. After all, it's the only way we can know him. And that's the most important thing, is to be in that relationship with him that he has defined through his son. So with that, God's blessings on your week, and I'll see you in the back of the church to and if you ever need me for anything during the week, never be afraid to call. It's kind of why I'm here, right? All right, very good.